Good morning. Appreciate you guys having me again. As always, you guys are always so gracious. We appreciate the opportunity to come and serve God and listen to His Word, and hopefully He has something in store for you, which I'm confident that He does. This morning, Spanky said, I don't know, I feel like I'm supposed to tell you about Thanksgiving. You had something to say to me, but it had nothing to do with Thanksgiving, because my message is our life of ministry, renewal, rebuilding of our mindset. So like your store and like our store here, obviously God is good. But I'd like to do something a little bit different today, just to start out, if you would humor me. Can I have everyone just take your hands and just put them out in front of you and open them up? Because I want to pray. Because I think so many times in our lives, we walk around like this. God, I can't give this to you because I don't trust you. God, I can't let go of this because I'm hurt. God, if I let go, I don't know what's going to happen. So I want to come to Him, before Him this morning, just with open hands. That He will take whatever it is we're dealing with, whatever it is we're struggling with, wherever it is we are at. Because I heard a song this morning that said, "Praise God, you're not the God that I thought you were. You are so much more." Just go ahead and pray. God, we sit here this morning as your children, as saved sinners, as people that don't deserve a grace that you give us, Lord, with open hands. Lord, I pray that as we're here this morning in your presence, we know that you are here, that you take what you need to take from these hands. You are a giver, but Lord, you also take things like pain, things like stress, things like fear, doubt, all the things that the enemy uses to kind of trip us up and hold us in a holding pattern. Lord, I pray that we come to you today with open hearts and open minds, not only these hands, but a representation, Lord, that we are willing to go and do what you ask us to do. Lord, help us not to hold on to things that we shouldn't. Help us to give things to you that you can make them something that we don't even understand. Lord, I thank you for the God that you are, not the God that I thought you were. God, I thank you for being in our presence and humbling yourself and coming down and giving us this example that we have in your word. We just love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. I appreciate that. How many people here need clarity in your life? How many people here are stressed out? Overworked? Tired? Saved sinners? That's bigger than anything I've listed prior to that, is it not? Do we understand that God has given each and every one of us a ministry? I mean, do you believe that God has given you a ministry irregardless of your age, your profession, where you're at in life, what you know about the Bible, what you don't, how much money you make? You know, I used to think that, ministry was me coming here on a Sunday morning and standing up here and give a message. My wife and I are quickly finding out that God likes to use people not in church buildings almost more than He does those that are. And that's not a kudos to me. That's just the fact that we live in a broken world. We have an adversary. We have an enemy who is very good at destroying us, don't we? The good news is we're already victorious. And God is bigger. And it's only when I live in fear or doubt or I look at a situation and go, there is no way anything good can come from this, that I put God in this little compatible, handy little box, that those things overpower me. So I want to challenge you this morning. We're going to turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And actually, the insert is called Paul Defending His Ministry, and I'm not here to defend anything. Your relationship with God is strictly between you and Him. You are not going to be able to stand in front of the judgment throne someday and say, if Ben would have gave a better message on November 12th, I'd be golden. This is strictly between you and Him. But I think it's important that sometimes we have a renewal of a mindset. We have kind of a come to Jesus meeting where we look at where we're at, we look at where we want to go, and then we do something about it. You know what I think the biggest problem with the church is today? It doesn't know its identity. We go from trying to make sure we please everybody to fill up seats, to building the right, building, hiring the right people, having the right programs, doing all the things that we ought to do in order to be successful. You want to be successful in the church? Love the world. Be in it, not of it. It's simple. But yeah, we have all these things that pull us and take us all these different directions. So my prayer is that God will kind of open our eyes this morning and give us clarity. Give us a renewal of the mind. So I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. You're looking only on the surface of things. If anyone is confident that he belongs to Christ, he should consider again that we belong to Christ just as much as he." Now I want to take that passage and I want to break it down, because I think I've read over this many, many times. Tammy this week in our devotions shared that with us around the table or the countertop or whatever where we were eating. And it really resonated with me. There's just some phrases in there that when I read it, it's like, you know, what's up with this? You know, God, what are you trying to tell me? Why are you badgering this, you know, badgering me with this? Have you ever read something in the Bible and the Holy Spirit just won't leave you alone? It's like that little fly, you know, shoo, God, get away from me. Oh, we'd never say that. Well, let me tell you, there's been times God has knocked and we've ignored. Amen? So let's start in verse 3. "Though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does." Now, we hear the words wage war, and we think that we are to be very offensive, aren't we? We are waging war. We're going into the battle. We are going to do some things. We are going to show the world some things about who God really is. We are in a fight, right? Every day, it's a battle, isn't it? Just for 30 seconds, let's look at your day tomorrow morning. How many people here get up at 6? Oh, we got a late bloomer church. 7 o'clock, or am I going the wrong way? 5 o'clock. Give me a time. 5 o'clock? 3:30. Okay, somebody here is crazy. We ain't going there. We get up at 5 o'clock, and what do we have to do? What's the first thing I know when I get up? But you know what I do? I go to the coffee pot. Amen? Jesus in a cup. Praise God for coffee. So we get up at 5, right? Then what do? Pray. That's a good answer there. In the Word. Get our day started, right? Think about all the things you have to do, right? By 6 o'clock, hopefully, second cup of coffee's kicked in, maybe a shower, maybe some makeup, maybe you're just trying to get them kids out of bed from staying up too late on Sunday night. Maybe that's just a Pletcher household, I don't know. 6:30, getting around, 7 o'clock, hopefully everybody's getting out the door and starting their day, right? Anybody here have too much time on their hands? You know why you don't? You worry about the things that aren't important. You want to know why churches struggle? We wage war with things that are not important. Not that we shouldn't worry about the little things, but let's talk turkey for a minute. What's important when it comes to the church? We have to remember who our fight is with. It's not the other church down the road. It's not the church the world perceives it to be. It is the devil. And he will use anything, anyone, or any time he can to derail us. Because if you forget who you're fighting, are you ever going to win? We have to remember that when we wage war, it's not against the person that we can't stand, or the church that we dislike, or somebody did something or offended us or cut us off or whatever it is. It's against an enemy looking to devour us, looking to destroy us. You know, there's a lot of fights around us. Satan versus us. Spirit versus flesh. The church versus the world. Think about all the battles. You wonder why we're overwhelmed? Because we look at all the fights and we try to rely on our own power. You know, sometimes we might pray, "God, I want you to handle it," but what I really mean is strike that person with lightning. Right? "God, I want you to make it go away, but if you can like bless me and give me a little extra thing, that'd be great." Remember who we're waging war with. Verse 4, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world." When I hear the word weapon, Christianity usually is not in the same conversation, honestly. Think about it. With a weapon, your idea is to do what? To damage, to strike, to show the other whatever who's the boss and what's going on. So when I read that, I really had to think about it for a while. Because sometimes I take the weapons that God gives me and I try to strike. Try to prove a point. You ever quoted scripture to hurt the other person? You know, the Bible says you can't do that. The Bible says you shouldn't act like that. Maybe we should go, what does the Bible say to Ben? That's another sermon, Ben, not today. Let's not talk about that one. We have to understand that we have weapons. They're not of this world because God equips us. God equips us. God gives us what we need. So I want to look at two areas this morning on the waging of the weapons. Number one, let's go offense. How many people here like offense? Scoring points. It's fun, right? I mean, here's the thing. Offense sells tickets. Defense wins championships. We all say that, right? I'd rather score 130 and beat you by one than beat you 15 to 12. That's boring, right? I mean, I'm talking coaching, but in life, we like offense. So as Christians, what is our offense? Do we know? You have a weapon. You've been equipped. It's in the Word. Anybody have a guess? What if I told you you can see it with your own eyes right now in this room? There it is. There's your offense. The Holy Spirit produces. It's active. Things are going to happen. This is what we're to be about. The kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law. There is nothing the devil can do when we exercise these things, right? So what's the problem? We don't exercise them. We don't use our offense. We just show up and we hope it works. How does life look if everything that came out of your mouth was love? Instantly we go, you don't know what I deal with. You don't know who I live with. You don't know who I'm married to. You don't know what my kids are like. Do you know what you're like? Do you know what you're like to live with? Do you know like you're, what you're like being married to? This isn't a one-way street. It's a two-way street. So offensively, when we start with love, because love covers a multitude of sins, amen? How many times in your life you know you're wrong and all you wanted was love exercised on you? Not to let you off the hook easy, but just to deal with you the way that you felt was fair. You wanted to feel loved. Joy. You know, we are in the process of transitioning. We're moving to Tennessee. And one of the things everybody says is, man, how everybody down south is so much nicer. You think it's a fake thing, I'm telling you, you go to Tennessee. People look at you in the eye and say, good morning. How you doing? They smile. You go to Walmart up here, I feel like I need to put on the body armor because I have no idea what's going to happen. And it's not just an Ohio thing. Been in Michigan, it's a Midwestern thing. We are becoming hard people. We have lost our love. And Matthew, that's a sign of the times, folks. When the world's love grows cold, it's a sign that the end is upon us. And this is not a doom and gloom, you better get your act together. That's every day. It's a fact of, it's a warning. We need to be offensive about those things. How many people wake up and say, I want to be patient today? I'm going to exercise patience. Or do you wake up and say, these people better do this or I'm going to show them what's up? See how the offense has been given to us? We have been equipped. These are the weapons. Do any of those words look like the world today? Anybody? Thing is, there is love, there is joy, there is peace, there is patience, there is kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The problem is the church should be the billboard for those things, and it's not doing its job. Because most people feel like when they walk through those doors, you're going to get judged. They're going to take one look at me and know, or we live in such a small community that whatever you do, everybody knows. Is God bigger than your reputation? Isn't that what grace is all about? Are you going to look at someone and do to them what you think they're doing to you? That's a lie of the enemy. That's a whole other conversation. We do not wage war with the weapons as the world does. So let's flip the coin. Opposite of offense is what? Defense. What's your equipment for defense? Do you know? Anybody? I'm going to ask you to paint something else on the wall so next time we go offense, defense, offense, defense. Flip over with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. You're going to know this passage and you go, well, yeah, we already know that, Ben. We should have said something, right? Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to start in verse 10. It's entitled The Armor of God. Everybody ever hear that? Isn't armor sound like a defensive kind of thing? Isn't this God's word saying that this is what we're equipped with? So here's our defense. Verse 10, finally, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Not strong in Ben, not strong in knowing my Bible, strong in the Lord. The fact that he's going to be ahead of me, number one. He is my armor. He is my protector. And in his mighty power, put on. We've got to take the initiative. We have got to take the initiative. If Lindsay Wiseman was here, she would not say, we don't just get up and go like this and our flies to us and puts it on. We got to actually put on our gear. When you get out of bed in the morning at 3, 5, 6, whatever time it is, suit up. Why? Because you're in a war and Satan is waiting to attack. He may get you before you get out of bed. Put on the full armor of God to take your stand against what? The devil's schemes. We have got an enemy. It is a struggle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers in the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, notice the word when, not if, it will come. I promise you, it will come. You can stand your ground. After you have done everything to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. There's an offensive and a defensive weapon together. Peace is offensive and is defensive. In addition to all this, extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. The saints are not a team in New Orleans. The saints are not a bunch of old dudes that you read about in the Old Testament. The saints are us. Why? Because God has equipped us to go out and finish what he started. We got to want to do it. Let's jump down to verse 5. We can demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself against the knowledge of God, and we can take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. Demolish arguments. Somehow we twist this into saying, I'm right. Do you understand that the idea here to demolish arguments is not about being right, it's about being Christ-like? How many arguments have you given up on knowing you were right, but because it was going to save headache, pain, and you were going to exercise love and joy and peace and all these things, you're going to be offensive. You say, you know what? It's okay. Or do you take it to the grave and fight about it every day? How many people we have give up? How many fighters we got here? You wonder why you're tired? Quit fighting. It's a waste of time. Does it really mean a hill of beans? You were white, right? Your wife was wrong about the best way to get somewhere. Is it worth it? That's one of them wasted fights. It is. It's a waste of time. We spend so much time on things that do not matter, about being right. The only reason why we're right is because of the blood of the Lamb. That's it. Nothing I bring to the table makes me right. So demolish arguments. Every pretension. You know what a pretension is? Something we believe to be right. Something that is held at such, it's a claim, it's a standard. O-H, pretension, predetermined response, amen? You'll hear Buckeye fans say, oh, I can go to the airport and yell that, and someone's going to yell back, big deal. I can yell, come and get it, and people's going to say, let's pray. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. But when trouble comes, do I know to hit my knees? When I'm holding on to something I don't know what to do with, when I need clarity, do I clench on or do I let it go? It says it will demolish. Why? Because it sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, we have to know God in order to know when to demolish an argument by letting go, by holding our ground. When there's some claim or something that's been established, we know to hold on to it or let it go. It can be hard to know, can't it? I'm going to make a statement, and you can do with it whatever you want. You can say I'm wrong. Here's what I think. I think people make decisions based on A, how they feel, and B, what they think they know. They don't take the time to get the facts. They definitely don't take the time to see what this book has to say about it. That might take some time. That might take some work. What if God is never in a hurry, right? He's never late. You will be where you're supposed to be. The problem is you may not like it. You may not want to be there. But until you're willing to be used in a place you don't want to be, or a place that you think God isn't done with you yet, why would he take you where you want to go? Because as soon as you get tired of that place, you're going to want to take you somewhere else. You ever take your kids to Disney World? Woo! You walk in. That rat is there to take your money. I don't care what you say. That 6-foot rat is there to take your money. It's the biggest scam. Anyway, we're not going there. You walk in there, and at first they're taken back by everything, aren't they? It's just everything is awesome. Everything is amazing. And then you start to realize how much stuff costs. They don't get it. I want a slushie. That's like $30. I want to ride that ride. That's like 6 hours. I want to go there. Do you know how many kids wipe their nose and touch that? You don't need to go in there. Dude, you paid to go to Germville. I'm sorry. Just get over it and suck it up. But we're a lot like those kids. Something new, something shiny, we get excited. But after a while, we start to nitpick it. What's it going to cost me? How long is it going to take? What if something changes me? What if I get into that? Is it really any different? Know God. Trust God. I had someone this week say, sometimes in your life you have to know when to knock the dirt off your feet and take your peace and go. Does that make you a jerk? No, it makes you wise. So many people jump into that pit and never get out. And all they do is complain about it. So I think we need to make sure that we understand that we have the ability to demolish arguments. We have the ability, every pretension. But we have to take captive every thought. Your thought life ever got you in trouble? Ever make an assumption you were wrong? Right? Am I the only one that does these stupid things? Isn't it scary where our thoughts can take us? I mean, honestly, our kids can come home and they're 10 minutes late and you've been tracking them on your phone and you know all the stories because of the stories you used to tell your parents, and it doesn't matter what they say. You've already determined what the lie is and what they're going to do and what the punishment is. Right? And then all of a sudden, you eat that big old piece of crow pie. Awesome. Take captive those thoughts. And the captive, you know, actually means a prisoner of war. Again, it goes back to the idea, we're in a war. If we don't contain those crazy, wild, radical thoughts, we are going to become crazy, illogical, radical people. And that's the problem with the world today. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Anybody know that one? It's one of my favorite ones because it's something I need help with a lot. Verse 12, or chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you're going to be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect and pleasing will. Why do I like that? Because sacrifice is the opposite of captive. Some people are held captive. Some people are living in a life of sacrificial servanthood. There's a big difference. And in order for me to know the difference, I have to transform the way I think. I have to transform what goes through my mind, the process. I don't know what my wife and my kids' agendas are. I know what the devil tells me they are, but do I really know them? Do I know their heart? Do I understand that if I respond in such a way, it's going to trigger a behavior. It's going to trigger a thing. And that's on me because of the way I've addressed it. Transform your mind. Be sacrificial. Jump up with me back to our passage, verse 7. You're only looking at the surface of things. There is no way in 35 or 40 minutes I can address this with due diligence. So what does that mean? I have to come back Sunday and do it again? No, it means that you need to get in your Word. You have to decide right now that, you know what, I'm not going to look like the world. I am going to look like Jesus Christ. I'm going to put my offense in the playbook. I'm going to put my defense on when I get out of bed. Why? Because I am in a war. I am in a battle. I am in a situation that sometimes I feel like I can't win. You know what? You're right. You can't. Because if we could, we wouldn't need God. How many people here honestly believe they need God? I'm talking wholehearted, sold out, realize that it's a waste of my time to try to do it on my own. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the truth. We need people in our lives to look at us and say, you know what, you're wrong here. You should not be doing that. But it's easier just to go with the flow. Because how many people wake up every day and just pray to God they can make it through that day so they can get back to bed? You know what the problem with that is? You're going to start over tomorrow. I mean, you get what, about maybe 6 hours of freedom when you're sleeping? If you get a good night, maybe seven? So why not make the most of every single day? You're not set out to be the best 22-13 store in America. You're set out to be the best servant. God will honor that. God will honor those that want to glorify Him in whatever you are doing. I've called Matt. I know he's in the middle of a construction zone. I can hear it. He still praises God. He still says these things. He doesn't care what people think. They can run him over the front end loader. He's saying, thank you. Why? I'm going up. I'm out. Plus, I can't fix it anymore for you. Teachers. Parents are stupid. Amen? It's okay. This isn't a judgment zone. This is a truth zone. I'm stupid. I'm a parent. I do dumb things. I think dumb things. But if I wake up every day and say, how can I glorify God with me being the best parent I can be, the best husband I can be, the best coach I can be, does that mean I got it figured out? No. Ask them. The test tubes are over there. They'll tell you I'm not good at it. But does that mean I hide behind the fact that I'm trying? Step up to the plate. Men need to lead. That's a challenge to every man in this room, no matter how old you are. Someday you're going to have a family and kids and a wife. You need to lead. Not with an iron fist, with a good offense and a great defense. Women, I know you get tired of men not doing their job. Be a good assistant coach. Not that you're second in line, but just be right there beside them. Be in the middle of it. Don't tell them what they're doing wrong. Help them do it right. Church, you got to step up. People are dying every day and going to hell. Here's siren. Ironic is that. Important point right here. God gave you sirens. Doesn't matter what you do, it matters where you go. And what I mean by that is live every day as if it's your last for God, not yours. You know, not that song, I'm going skydiving, riding a bull name, whatever, that Tim McGraw song. Well, that Fu Manchu, yeah, I don't even know it. But I could sing it if it was on, but. So, when we started, I had you pray with your hands wide open. Some of you said you're tired. Some of them said you need clarity. Some of you said you're overworked, you're overwhelmed, whatever. Is God bigger than all those things? Don't give me the Christian, yeah. We do that a lot. You praying for me? Yeah. You read your Bible? Yeah. You give money to church? Yeah. Do you need God or do you not? Look at where you're at right now. Fatima, I'm going to give you a date. And I will buy anybody lunch in this room. I'm not playing, I promise. We'll go right after church. If you can tell me what happened in this county, February 18th, 1991, at about 7:14, 15 p.m. Huh? No. I was a junior in high school. I was baptized. Never would have got it. Why? Because it's not important to you. It's important to me. What day were you baptized? What day did you come to the point where you knew that God needed to be in charge of your life instead of you? That's the most important. I'm not bragging. I have my card in my Bible that tells me that date. I'm not good enough to remember. I move stuff in my Bible. It's in there. I was baptized at Pleasant Grove Church of Christ. Jake Harmon was a guy that came to church during the lunch hour of high school and just loved on me. Didn't try to tell me I was a sinner. Didn't try to tell me that I was this, or didn't try to tell me how influential I could be. He just was my friend. I owe my salvation to him because he sowed a seed in Northmore's cafeteria to a kid who thought he had it all figured out. And look at what he did. And that's not because I'm a great person. It's because I serve a great God. A God that I need every single day. In fact, I would say more and more, because the world I live in is crazy. So how about you? Where are you at? You say you need God. Open hand, closed fist. Because you can't do a whole lot of things with this other than strike. It's hard to help when you got a closed fist. It's hard to let go. It's hard to do a lot of things. But man, if you're like this, hug, shake, love, carry, opportunities are endless. So I want to invite the praise team to come down. We're going to pray. You need to figure out where you're at, what you need to do. It's today your day. Today the day that you say, you know what, God, I'm renewing my relationship with you. Maybe you're starting off for the first time. I don't know. November 12th, 2017, about 11 o'clock, could be the single greatest decision you ever made. Amen. But I can't make it for you. So as we get ready to sing, the elders are coming down. I'm going to pray and I'm going to get out of the way. It's not about me, it's about him. Let's go ahead and pray. God, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that we have an offensive plan, we have a defensive plan. I want to thank you that you don't grade on what we've done in the past, but you look at our potential. Lord, help us to see our potential. Help us to need you more. Help us to crave you. Lord, I pray that as we come to this time of invitation, each and every one of us, whether we come forward or we don't, Lord, I know I can do a better job. I know that I can realize that I'm in a fight and that I can not fight the way the world fights. I can use the weapons not the world has, but what you've given me. Help me to become a better servant. Help me to be sacrificial. Help me to keep my thoughts captive. Lord, we're only scratching the surface, but you want to take us so much deeper. Lord, I pray that there's people here today that you have touched them. The Holy Spirit has spoken to them and they do what they need to do, that they don't use words like I'm afraid or I don't know or I don't want to be embarrassed. Lord, just let this be a place free of judgment, free of fear and doubt and concern. Let this be a saving place. Let this be holy ground. Lord, I pray that we do the best that we can with what you give us. But Lord, we crave more of you each and every day. Help us all to make the decisions that we need to make as we are here this morning at this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah.
I know everybody cringes when I go to grab the mic. But hey, we have an opportunity. And God's laid some people on my heart, and I don't know what that looks like. But we have an opportunity to reinvest into the church's future. And Jesse and I and Dylan in the past have kind of led the youth group. We really, really need someone, if that is your calling, to step up and lead this youth group. There's not a lot of kids. There could be. But as you can see, when we dismiss kids, there's a bunch of kids. Amen. And we've got to reinvest. And I think they get tired of hearing me and hearing Jesse. Dylan doesn't talk. He's just my crowd control. But if God's laying that on your heart, please talk to Jesse or myself. Right now we're set up to go once a month when we go with the fellowship thing. Yeah. But that's kind of open. You can go as much or as little as you feel led. But what a great opportunity to reinvest and to show what God does for you to other people. With that,
remind me about tonight.
We're fellowship dinner tonight, so come back tonight at 5:30 just to share some time together. That's one of the times that we get to know one another, learn about your needs, and learn how to pray for one another. One of the other times that we do that is in Sunday school on Sunday mornings. It's just, I don't know, us that meet for Sunday school love it, and I think you would if you tried it. But it's a great time to come together and share with one another in our lives together. So it's just a time of growing together. So tonight at 5:30, we're going to have a meal together. Then there will be a class for each age group. So time to come together and learn together. So join us tonight at 5:30. Bring something to eat, and we'll join a meal together. So, Father, I thank you for being here this morning, for sharing your word, Father, with us, for teaching us about the wages of war, teaching us about offense and defense, putting on your whole armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Father, I thank you for each one that you have brought here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you knew ahead of time we were even going to be together today and sharing in this manner. So, Lord, I thank you for what you've taught us. Father, I ask for your peace to go before us, prepare the way ahead of us for this week, and Lord, that we'll come back tonight rejoicing. In Jesus' name.